Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Everyone's giving you the best thing since gold. And you listen to Therapy Suite right here on UKF Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back Florence from Yoga Retreats, where we'll be discussing loneliness. Welcome back, Florence. How are you doing?
Hi, Gavin. Hi, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Doing fine.
Brilliant. And thank you for coming back on the show. Florence, just remind our listeners a bit about your background and, you know, how you got to where you are today.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. So I organize and I host yoga and wellness retreats in the UK and abroad. We actually go to India twice a year because that's very popular and it's a beautiful country I love very much. I was a guest on yoga retreats for a very long time, over 20 years. And I thought that I could do better. And since 2020, I've been doing my own retreats, which are very, very popular. Always small groups. I prefer small groups. The guests prefer small groups as well, because you get a better care, you get more time with people. So, that's what I do.
Which is brilliant. How was the last one?
The last one was amazing. We went to Rajasthan in India, and it was a truly mind-blowing experience for the guest, but for myself as well. I always discover something new, and every retreat is different because the guests are different, and the guests make the retreat. And the group was very well bonded, very well, very quickly. We were all on the same wavelength, same sense of humor. So we really, really enjoyed it. So it was quite fabulous. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I forgot that in between Rajasthan and now, I did do a digital detox retreat in Devon, beginning of March. And I had 7 wonderful guests, and that was also a wonderful weekend. Very nice.
Brilliant. Sounds brilliant. So, Florence, tell us, what is the difference between being alone and being lonely?
Oh, wow. These are two very different states of being and should not be mistaken. And it's very important that people understand the difference. Being alone is a physical state, whilst being lonely is an emotional state. So I will explain. Being alone means being physically alone, being by yourself. And I think that everybody understands that. You may choose deliberately to isolate yourself. So there are days when you may want to sit in a corner with a good book or some knitting, painting, and just enjoy being alone for a few hours. You do not want to talk to anyone. You just want to concentrate on your activity. You want to practice mindfulness. You want to get lost in your own thoughts. However, you feel content and you do not feel lonely. You are enough for yourself. You enjoy your own company. You do not seek the company of others. If it's just for a few hours or could be for a few days. you also know that you can do something about that state. You can do something about not being alone anymore. You can go out and socialize. You can invite friends around. You can go and see an exhibition. You can rejoin your family. Now, being lonely is the other side of the coin. It's an emotional state, and it's also how you perceive your situation. It's a disconnection between yourself and the people around you. So you can be surrounded by people, such as a group of friends, or maybe you're at work with your colleagues, or you can even be in a romantic relationship or being married, and yet you can still feel lonely. You feel unheard, you feel unseen, you feel irrelevant, you feel empty inside. It's a time when you feel disconnected from the people around you. So you can be physically alone and not feel lonely, but you can be surrounded by people and feel lonely. Of course, you can also be in a situation where you are alone and you feel lonely. That's social isolation. And there are steps you can take to remedy to that. But loneliness is a very distressing feeling, and it should not be underestimated. So you can feel lonely even if you have a lot of people around you, and that's because loneliness is about the quality of your connections. Not the quantity, but the quality of your connections. The good news is there's something you can do about that, and hopefully we will explore some of that today.
Absolutely. And you're totally right. I have heard people saying how they've been in relationships and they've never felt so lonely before. Even though the person might be physically there, the relationship might not be unfortunately working out, but, you know, some people stay together and they still, you know, feel lonely. Or they, you know, it depends if whether they're with family or whatever, or friends or whatever it might be, and the person still feels lonely. So it seems like there's a disconnect psychologically. Would that be right?
Absolutely. And that's probably if you want, so if you take loneliness and you want to say there are two types of loneliness, being in a relationship, being with someone and yet feeling lonely is the worst. If you are isolated, there is no, you live by yourself, you do not have a lot of colleagues, you're new to a country, you do not have a lot of friends, you can almost justify this feeling of loneliness. You can say, but okay, I live by myself. My partner has gone, or my partner has died. But when you are in a relationship, so to the outside world, you are part of a couple, and yet you've got this feeling of emptiness on the inside. And I have experienced that, so I can talk about it from, you know, from experience. That's, I would say, the worst kind of loneliness. That's the worst, for sure. And I'm sure, and I know that a lot of your listeners can relate to that. That's usually the state you're in just before the end of a relationship, when you know your relationship is over because of this, this state of emptiness. You know something is something is broken, and often the next step is a breakup. But it's devastating, and a lot of people have experienced that, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, of course, absolutely. Can we talk about an epidemic of loneliness and isolation?
Yes, we can. Sometime last year, in 2023, the World Health Organization, the WHO, declared loneliness to be a health threat. They declared it to be an epidemic on a global level. So according to surveys and research, both in Europe and in the States, nearly one in four people feel lonely, admit to feeling lonely. Loneliness was mainly seen as a problem concerning developed countries and our lifestyle choices. For instance, we move more often, we're more mobile, and we often move to new neighborhoods. Our neighbors, in turn, also move more often as well. So it means that as soon as you get to know the people next door, they may be on the move or you may be on the move. We also change jobs more frequently. So one job for life is a thing of the past. That's something that maybe our parents or our grandparents did. You were a baker or you were a butcher and that was your job for life. That's a thing of the past, at least in the Western world. Now we can have different careers and we can explore different vocations. Now, that level of freedom is wonderful and not to be taken for granted. However, the downside is that we start afresh more often as well. We join a different company every few years, maybe. That means meeting a brand new set of colleagues and starting from scratch again, trying to form friendships. We also have technology that has changed the way we communicate and interact with others. So we can work remotely. We can spend 40 hours a week with colleagues that we will never meet face to face. So it's really, really difficult to develop relationships that would eventually lead to meaningful friendships. We spend less time with each other. So loneliness in our culture really makes sense. However, research does show that it has become a worldwide issue. Loneliness is spreading worldwide and transcends borders. Like I said, one in four people, often older people, but not exclusively, on any continent, experiences social isolation. And that's why it's considered a real problem.
Absolutely. I think, and I don't want to bring it up, it already happened, but, you know, COVID really caused a lot of isolation and loneliness, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Working from home, that was new to a lot of people. It doesn't suit everyone. Some people thought it was wonderful because they could now work in their pajamas and didn't have to brush their hair. For some people, it had a devastating effect on their mental health when, having to get up in the morning, put some makeup on, if you're a lady or even if you're a man, and then getting on the tube and going to work and sharing a joke with your colleagues, sharing a cake with your colleagues. It was maybe the highlight of their day, and that's gone. So, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was a terrible time, you know. Does loneliness affect a specific age group or gender?
Quick answer, no, it doesn't. No. Regarding gender, research is very conflicted. So some research will show that more men report feelings of loneliness, and some research will show that it's more of a female problem. So unfortunately, it's not all that good. As a yoga and wellness retreats leader, welcoming both men and women on my retreats, I would say that it's a bigger issue for men. And that's simply because, as is well documented, men have more difficulties opening up to strangers and discussing their feelings. And we know that. Ladies are more chatty, and it's easier for them to share and compare experiences with other ladies or even with men. So if both men and women are given the same gathering opportunities, women will be quicker and more at ease to share with people they have just met. You see, mums outside the school gates. You will have some dads as well, but often the dads don't interact as much. You know, women tend to form little groups and start chatting, and they don't know when to stop. So it's easier for ladies, I think. So I see that on my retreats, how a handful of ladies can be chatting, laughing, sharing, etc. within minutes of meeting. It only takes a cup of tea and a couple of biscuits. Men need a little longer to warm up. But eventually they will feel comfortable enough to participate in conversations. You know, they will open up, they will discuss their feelings, including feelings of loneliness. So we do get there with men. It just takes a little longer. Regarding age groups, we assume that people of retirement age, so that's 60 plus, let's say, are more prone to feel loneliness. However, younger people and as young as teenagers are also feeling lonely and isolated. So we believe that empty nesters are feeling lonely, but actually, as loneliness is a mental state, it can affect people of any age. Young people use social media to meet other people and make friends, but these are what we call low-quality connections. Most of us at any age have hundreds of friends, inverted commas, on Facebook or Instagram, but these are superficial connections with strangers that you are very unlikely to meet in real life. These connections may distract you, may entertain you, may teach you skills, may make you laugh, but you rarely get to spend the right amount of time with that virtual friend to actually develop a meaningful, a deep and meaningful relationship where you genuinely care about each other on a very deep level. So the fulfillment is very, very low. And that's why you could have dozens of social media friends and yet feel lonely.
Absolutely. We just do a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So thank you, Florence, for that insight into loneliness. What is the impact of loneliness on someone's mental and physical health?
So loneliness is more than just a feeling. I said it was a mental state, but it's actually even more than that. It has a real impact on your mental and physical health. So as you previously mentioned, the COVID pandemic was detrimental to society's mental health. So much so that the Surgeon General of the United States recently compared the resulting health impact of loneliness on people to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And that's a link to isolation due to the various lockdowns we endured in 2020 and 2021. Like I said, working from home became the norm for a lot of people. It just doesn't suit everyone. Obviously, loneliness can lead to depression, and it has been linked to with cases of suicide. It's also associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease and the risk of premature deaths. So it's pretty serious. It's not just feeling blue. It's actually quite serious. It also has an impact on how physically active you are or not. So you may not want to go out by yourself. A lot of people don't want to go for a walk by themselves or visit a gym. So you can see how it has an impact on how physically active you are. You know, you may just want to It's a little bit like a domino effect. You may just, because you're feeling lonely, you may want to isolate yourself even more. And then you're caught up in some sort of, some sort of cycle that's hard to get out of. And the more lonely you feel, the more isolated you are. The more isolated you are, the more lonely you feel. So you can see how this, you know, progresses in a negative fashion.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, loneliness, I think, can also possibly lead to depression as well. Would that, do you think that might be the case?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of depressed people, a lot of people who report suffering from depression will also admit to not having anyone to share with. I mean, sharing their feeling, you know, talking to someone. Hence why you have talking therapies that try and get to the root of your depression, because you do not have someone to talk to share with. So there is definitely a link between depression and loneliness. Loneliness will lead to depression for sure. Mm. And in some cases, will lead to people taking their own lives, which is why I say it's quite serious, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. No, of course, yeah, very serious issue, you know. Have you helped anyone with loneliness at all?
Well, yes, I have on my retreat. It's actually wonderful to see people bonding and laughing. And yes, I've had a case of a lady who felt very, very alone. Not just alone, but lonely. She was physically alone and she was lonely after losing a long-term partner. And children who lived away from her, but even if they lived nearby, they may not have been able to look after her because they have their own lives to live. So her children booked her onto one of my retreats. That was back in September 2022, I believe. And they said, "Mom, you know, you go on a retreat, you meet some people, you have a laugh. Please try and get out of this this state of mind you're trapped into." And she did tell us on the second day at dinner, she did announce that upon going home, she probably will be taking her life because she has nothing to live for. Oh. Well, you can imagine silence around the table. Everybody put their forks down and, you know, and we started talking to her, and she talked more and more. She opened up more and more about why she was feeling so bad and why she couldn't stand around company anymore and was thinking of ending it. The good thing was that by the last day of the retreat, she was the one laughing the loudest and, you know, cracking jokes. And even the color on her face changed from the day she turned up at the retreat to the day she got into, to the last day when she got into her car. Something about her had changed physically. She was all rosy-cheeked and she was, she turned the corner, you know, so to speak. She turned the corner because she had all these human connections for a few days. She shared and she realized that she actually had a lot to live for, including her children and grandchildren. So, yeah.
Fantastic. How do you think it's best to manage loneliness?
I think that, number one, you need to admit that you are feeling lonely. Admitting and accepting the problem is the first step towards a solution. And that's for any problem, not just loneliness, but if you have a problem with alcohol, if you have a problem with drugs, any problem you have, debts, whatever, admit the problems. I think that's number one. Some people are ashamed to admit that they feel lonely. There is some sort of stigma and preconception around loneliness. People think that if you are lonely, it means that you do not have any friends. And that's maybe because people do not seek your company. And that's maybe because you are not nice, you are not interesting, or you are not fun. And that's why you don't have any friends. But that's not the case at all, because you can feel lonely for many different reasons. And you can have a lot of friends and still go through periods of loneliness. As we said, you can be married and feel lonely. It's a state of disconnection between you and the people around you. So it's not a reflection on your personality. So please do admit to yourself and others that you feel lonely. And number two, remember that you are not the only one feeling like that. You know, like I said, almost 25% of people can feel loneliness at some point in their lives. Be realistic about your expectation of others. Accept that sometimes people are too busy to spend time with you. Again, it's not a reflection on your personality, because we all go through busy periods. If your friend has just lost a parent, for example, they may be mourning and they may not be able to be here for you. It's just a temporary situation. You can write down happy memories. That's a common advice, but very few people commit to it. Revisit happy memories from as far back as your childhood. Revisit a fun evening with friends. Anything that makes you smile, because smiling lifts your mood. This brings me to another obvious advice. Watch a movie that would make you laugh out loud. Laughing, just like smiling, is another great way to lift your mood. Gratefulness journaling. Take note of all the things in your life you are grateful for. So you may love your job. You have a roof over your head. Maybe you have great family, even if you don't see them very often. You know, so they say that gratitude turns what we have into enough. And this may help to change the way you view your life. And you may realize that you are not as lonely as you think. You may realize that you have more in your life than you think you have. And always remember that this state will pass. Everything in life is just a phase. Maybe you have just started a new job and you don't know anyone yet. Maybe you have just moved to a new city or a new neighborhood. Maybe you are newly single. It's a temporary state, so please never despair.
Absolutely. And hobbies as well. I mean, people that get lonely and may not be able to see many people, maybe hobbies help too.
Absolutely. So combating loneliness, yes, it's a two-pronged attack, isn't it? So first, you know, be proactive and invest in meeting people, privilege human connections. So make a list of people you like and appreciate. Do categories, so colleagues, neighbors, family, acquaintances. Again, you will realize that you have more people in your life than you think you have. Reconnect with a past colleague, friend, long-lost cousin. There is a strong likelihood that your friend, colleague, cousin is also thinking about you and wonders how you are doing. Maybe they are also feeling lonely. Maybe they would also love to reconnect with you. Someone needs to make the first move. Why not you? Be proactive. Don't wait for someone else to reach out. Take control of the situation. Make an attempt to rekindle a relationship. If it doesn't work, it's okay. You don't have anything to lose. Join a course. Join a club. Are there any classes you want to join, any crafts you have always wanted to learn? You know, things like that, I guess. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And online, there's loads of things. And also online, are there groups, do you think, like, where you can talk to people? I mean, social media is so massive now. I know you mentioned something earlier about, you know, social media, but there's loads of platforms if people feel lonely, do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can join like a little picking group in your neighborhood. Now, I accept that collecting garbage may not be everybody's idea of fun. However, it's a way of doing good and meeting people, having a laugh, having a cup of tea, and that will lead to you being invited for other activities. There is a lot you can do. There is a lot you can do. A lot of people you can meet online that will translate into meeting in real life. So yes, yeah. Explore that as well, yeah.
What are some healthy interactions with people, other people?
It's healthy interaction and connection with others are when there is mutual respect. So when you feel that someone genuinely cares about you, when you feel that they listen to you, they hear you, they are ready to give you advice. However, a healthy relationship is a two-way street. So you need to be ready to reciprocate. So instead of the usual, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. You know, when you go about your business, we all do that. Take the time to really listen to your friend, colleague, neighbor's answer. Show the other person that you hear them. You're listening to them. You hear them. Because everyone wants to be heard. So give someone the gift of really listening to them. And let their stories take you out of your lonely headspace for a little while. And before you know it, they will return the favor. And they will really listen to you the next time you want to say something that's important to you. So a healthy relationship, a healthy connection is about listening and sharing honestly. Respecting someone's privacy and space, especially when a relationship is new. And before you know it, a relationship will turn into a friendship. But it takes time to nurture, so don't be in a hurry. Accept it will take time, but it will be rewarding.
Yeah, no, totally. Because people can have people around them. They might have loads of people, just a few people around them, but it doesn't always mean that the interaction is healthy, isn't it?
Absolutely. It doesn't mean that at all. You have relationship when you feel it's a one way street. So you can have someone calling you, and they will spend 20 minutes on the phone talking about a problem they've just encountered in their life, but somehow they will never return the favor. And you know, when you call them with a problem, they're on their way out, or they're waiting for someone to turn up, or they're too busy. And this happens often, and you think, I'm always here for him, I'm always here for her. Somehow it doesn't translate the other way. That's not a healthy relationship. No, it needs to be a two-way. It needs to be two-way, really, to work properly. And something else I wanted to say about combating loneliness, privilege human connections and become a yes person. So we hear a lot about the power of saying no, but I urge you to become a yes person. What I mean by that is accept invitations, even if at first they don't really appeal to you. It can be a work do or a party or a neighbor's barbecue. Even if you think that you won't know anyone, say yes and go. Because, you know, you can create your own opportunities. Maybe you can be the one inviting people. You can be the one setting up a group, to do something in your neighborhood. But say yes to invitations, privilege meeting people, because that will lead to, to you not feeling so lonely anymore. And so you can volunteer at your local charity shop. You can volunteer at an animal shelter, soup kitchen, food bank. Get a dog. I mean, okay, this is a big decision. And please, think about this. But solid research has successfully demonstrated that being a dog parent has numerous health benefits. Obviously, it provides companionship, it helps you be calmer, it makes you feel more secure and more present in your life. But more importantly, it will help you be more social and less isolated. Going on walks with your dog will not only keep you active, but it will allow you to meet new people. I guarantee that within a month of going out at least twice a day, you will have met most of your neighbors and their dogs. It's like magic. As a dog mom to three rescues, I speak from experience. Some of my closest friends were met thanks to my dogs. So you start, you talk to your neighbors. First, you will talk about dogs, and then you start talking about other subjects. And before you know it, you develop a relationship with people you had never noticed before, because you're rushing to and from, you know, the tube station or to and from the supermarket. When you have a dog, you have to slow down and you have to look around you, and it makes a big difference to your life. So get a dog, but please adopt, don't shop. But yeah.
Absolutely. I did a show some time back about the benefits of pets and that kind of thing. And it's meant to be absolutely amazing for mental well-being to have a pet, you know?
They take animals into hospitals and care homes. So people who are sick, I mean, even a Great Ormond Street, if I'm not mistaken, they will have, you know, they call them therapy dogs who will visit, because children love animals. But actually, everybody loves animals. Very few people dislike animals. And care homes, I know, caring for older people, will bring cats, dogs, rabbits. Yeah, animals are good for you. Definitely, yes.
Absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Basically, Florence, thank you for all the information about loneliness. Obviously, we know that you've helped a number of people through the retreats, and you've mentioned that as well. Can you talk to us a bit more about how the retreat can help people feel less lonely and, you know, help you get more friends and that kind of thing?
So I have a favorite saying about retreats. It goes, there are no strangers here, just friends you haven't met yet. So during a retreat, you will experience a flooding of happy hormones for a few days. Hormones like serotonin and dopamine and endorphins. These are hormones that affect your mind, mood, and level of happiness. And these are the hormones that your brain releases when you... you know, when you're having fun experiences. So on a retreat, you have a captive audience of like-minded people, but you also are someone else's captive audience. There is a real exchange, and that's the magic ingredient that promotes your well-being. Retreats are the perfect opportunity to travel if you do not have anyone to travel with and you want to meet people. You are guaranteed to meet other solo travelers who, just like you, may not have anyone to travel with, may also feel lonely and are also looking for friendships. The fact that you all decided to book on that specific retreat shows that you all have something in common. I have very important people in my life that I have met on retreats when I was a client before setting up my own retreats business. Some people I met over 20 years ago, you know, genuine friendships. And that's the beauty of going on a retreat, because retreats are not just holidays. They target people who care about their mental health as well as their physical health. So contrary to other types of holidays, retreats are about connections, connections with yourself and also connections with others. So even before you have left home, you know that you will meet like-minded people. You know you will be given space and time to connect. So, yeah. So I'm all for encouraging people to book a retreat. Yes.
Fantastic. How do you maintain a sense of contentment in the surge of happy hormones once home from a retreat?
So making connections with other people is almost like a muscle you exercise. So once you have started connecting, and you like it, you will want to carry on. So you've just spent a few days having healthy interactions with like-minded people, interactions where you shared, you loved, you cried, you listened, but you also felt heard and seen. So when you get home, you start seeing your life differently. You want to carry on meeting new people because you realized that meeting new people isn't as scary as you thought, but it's actually quite exciting. So that's a good time to start joining local clubs, local groups, and things like that. I mean, personally, as a retreat leader, I always set up a WhatsApp group for the retreat so people can start sharing and getting to know each other even before they've met face to face. So I would say, and I keep the groups going. So I would say it's a good idea to share your thoughts on the group, keep the connections and the conversation and the bonds alive. And I can see, because I do check on the groups and I do participate, and I will see how people plan to travel to other retreats together, or they plan to meet up if they happen to live not too far from each other. So it's very rewarding for me to see these friendships forming and being nurtured, you know, for years to come.
Absolutely. And where's the next retreat going to be?
Oh, Cumbria in June. Oh. We go to Cumbria 6 times this year in June, July and September. Most of my retreats are almost sold out. In fact, one retreat only has one place left because they're very popular. As I mentioned previously, always small groups, so we can all eat together and everybody is heard and everybody, you know, has the space and freedom to express themselves. So yeah, Cumbria, and then India for Diwali, end of October, beginning of November. So yes, Cumbria and India this year. And I will be exploring different destinations in 2025.
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you for your time today, Florence. If people need to connect with you, where's the best social media link, or where's it best to kind of link into with you?
Yes, on my website, yogaretreatsandmore.com. You have all the retreats that are listed. I've got a blog as well with a couple of recipes. People are, you know, food we have on the retreats and people ask about. And then you get my email address and WhatsApp number on the website as well. So yogaretreatsandmore.com. That's the place.
Brilliant. And thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Gavin. It's always a pleasure. And yes. And I send the very, very best to all your listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.